The Lord thy God shalt thou adore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Identity, not of blood, but of the precious blood, not of race, but of religion, the real religion, revealed religion. Your identity is not of your making, some fad or whim to be changed at will. It comes from the one who made us and who remade us in the image of his Son, that we should be, St. Paul stresses that today, his ministers, as are the angels. Minister, it means servant, someone who carries out the will of another. We adore God as well as serve him, rendering to Almighty God what is his due, his debt, owed to God. It's not a free will offering. As we begin what you could think of as the divine debt repayment plan, the canon of the Mass, we first stop to identify ourselves before God. Password, please, and then security code, and probably a few other things as well. We are, who are we? We are the one with ones. If there's a pope, we're with him, Catholic pope. If there's a bishop, we're with him, we're obeying him in the diocese. We are with all of the church militant. Who are they? Those who baptized hold the Orthodox, Catholic, and Apostolic faith. It's a small group anymore. And in communion with Our Lady and the saints in heaven, the church triumphant. That's who's doing the asking, the praying, and the adoring today. Identity. Once, at the beginning of Christ's public ministry, after his Lent of 40 days, ministry, there's that word again, servanthood. And yearly, at the beginning of our Lent, comes the devil, and he wants to know, who is this? Who is this Jesus? Is he man or Messiah? Or God, or an angel. And thus, the three temptations today. Do me a miracle. Make a splash. Get you some publicity. And, on the off chance that it might work, worship me. The devil never can resist that temptation. It's worth a try, he thinks. Barring that, he has always had some local worshipers, some coven or cult, the occult, whatever, on the side. But most of all, he's after the Mass, to take it away from us and to take you away from it. For it is our chief means of serving and of adoring the Lord our God. So he strives to spoil a Mass, to make it be a sacrilege, or to make it be schismatic, outside of the unity of the body of Christ, sinful. 1,000 years ago, he seduced the Greek Orthodox, the Russians, and the rest, in their pride, cut off now from the mystical body. But it took him another 500 years after that to get to the valid Mass itself, Protestantism. And when he came for the Catholics, It's been 50 years now that they've lost their Mass, and what a mess is theirs instead. In England, it started with Henry VIII, who abolished matrimony, in effect. That's how the Reformation started. He wanted a new wife, but not a new way of worship. He loved the Mass, actually. It was only his daughter by his second wife, Anne Boleyn, and ever since, people are hearing those terms, second wife and fifth marriage and the rest. It was Elizabeth I who abolished the Mass with a vengeance under pain of death. Any priest who offered it would die a traitor's death. He would be tortured first and then hung by the neck for a while and then cut down, transmutilated, eviscerated, quartered. His head would poke out over a bridge on a pike. This lady, Elizabeth I, a Bible-believing Christian, really hated the Mass, the sacrifice, an abomination, and far worse, did Luther call it. But he had to be nudged into getting rid of the Mass. Luther, too, once loved the Mass and still said, years after his excommunication, private masses of devotion, long after he had nailed his theses to the door of the castle church and was excommunicated and fell into schism. He denied the true vicar of Christ. He destroyed the unity of the body. And thus came upon him the prince of hell. He had power over him. The devil came with a voice so alarming that the blood froze in Luther's veins. Now, the Lutherans will deny that it was the devil who persuaded or pressured this apostate priest finally to abolish the holy sacrifice for his followers in 1523. But he bragged of it often and told the tale himself, and I think it rings true. Do you even remember that series of sermons we had? Well, it was about 10 years ago or longer. The story of Irenaeo. I used to visit that priest in Mexico, Father Ciordia, who became quite an exorcist. He told me the story of this witch in town, the town of Cocoyoc, who had sold his soul to the devil, and one night the devil came to him and said, "Take it back, I don't want it. You're too old, you're going to die anyway." And Irenaeo was terrified, so he offered his wife instead. And the devil said, "Yes, I'll take your wife." He spoke always with that witch, the devil did, late at night, 3 o'clock or later. And Irenaeo was in bed when this happened, and he would hear the voice coming from the shadows of his bedroom. Now, Father Ciordia once made a terrible mistake for an exorcist. He answered the devil back. The devil insulted him, and he got into a conversation with him. "Converse never must you with the devil. Command in Christ's name, yes." So the devil told him, "Well, you're no priest. You have no training. You're an ignorant man. You're not validly ordained." And those are the same things that Satan said to Luther at that same hour. And under the pressure of it and the power of Satan, he first stopped saying his private masses. And 2 years later, he abolished the Mass altogether. But like the Novus Ordo, which is actually a Luther Mass, You can check that one out. He did so cleverly, step by step, slowly. At first, he kept much of the Latin. He just cut out the hated canon in the offertory with what he called the stench of sacrifice. The architect of the new Mass, Bunini, he was a secret Freemason. He was the one whose job it was to do almost the same thing to the Catholics as Luther did to the Lutherans. They kept more or less the outline of a Mass, Luther and Bunini, but just the parts they didn't like to Catholic, they were suppressed. Especially the valid Roman canon, changing its consecration into a confabulation, a narrative, the telling of a story, and nothing more. Now, the Freemasons are not those genteel philanthropists who wear the fez, you know, and they ride around in parades in those cute little convertible cars. There's more to their story, I am afraid, than that. They are pagans and pantheists, and if you go up the degrees and you study the doctrine and the rites and the secrets, there always is a link with the devil and the occult. He gets everywhere, doesn't he? He does not want us to worship and to serve Almighty God, as the Word of God by whom we live. This is the ancient battle, which once joined will never come to an end this side of Armageddon. Remember the doctrine. Each Mass is the same sacrifice as that which Jesus Christ offered to his Heavenly Father on Mount Calvary for the overthrow of Satan's power over mankind. Each Mass, this Mass, shakes the very foundation of the devil's empire in this world. It makes him to tremble and to take flight. It gives him unspeakable pain, and you know what empires do when their power is threatened. That is why we live in a world of perpetual war. 1984 come true. No wonder Satan despises the Mass. It is the most powerful weapon against him. And thus, he has always attacked it. And attack it will he still today. But more, the very idea of the worship of God, the genuine article, he cannot bear it. Everyone knows that the first duty of man, the first commandment, is to adore Almighty God. No sooner was man created than this necessary homage became due. Almighty God revealed to Adam and to Eve how he must be worshipped. Natural religion from the very beginning has always expressed itself in sacrifice. And every of the ancient religions, no matter how false and idolatrous they were, always centered around an act of sacrifice. Why do you think that is? But when our Lord came and abolished the Old Testament animal sacrifices and instituted the one perfect sacrifice of his own body and blood, the other religions, interestingly, the false religions, all lost the very notion of sacrifice. Only the Church preserves this element of natural religion as well as revealed, which Almighty God inspires and which he demands from us. The other religions have no altar and no priesthood and no sacrifice. The synagogue, the Muslims, the Protestants. Well, there are some Jews of one sect or another who do a ceremony with a chicken once a year, the idea of transferring to the chicken before they break its neck their sins. And the Mohammedans, at the end of their Lent, they will slay in sacrifice a goat. And the Protestants, well, Trump says, you know, I've taken the cracker and I drank a little bit of the grape juice, and it's just about reduced to that. Now, in the Novus Ordo, that's all fine. And they're fine, too, because they've adopted the gospel from the Protestants, the social gospel. And they've become, all of them, social justice warriors. And that is the essence of their religion. Worship, if you want to have worship, on a Sunday you may, and that's defined by swaying in tune with praise music, hands up in the air, dancing in the aisles. But adoration, as in the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve, adoration occurs quietly. It is in the will which submits itself to Almighty God. Let the incarnation, like the consecration, a few words whispered by the Virgin, by the priest, and then such a change. But who would know? It is so quiet. Now contrast that with the noise of the Novus Ordo, with Satan's temptation today. Cast thyself down, make a noise. I want to have a fuss, as Bergoglio says. Let's have a Leo, a struggle right in the streets. But that's not how God works. Always a few words, some drops of water, a bit of oil, and it is done for eternity. Now note, it is the Mass, the true sacrifice of Calvary, which alone fulfills our need to worship Almighty God. And it does so perfectly. For all of our physical and spiritual needs, there is bread, the bread of angels, and our daily bread. Through time, the past and the present and the future, because the Mass is Calvary, eternity in a moment. And this is what we're doing this morning. Who's praying today? Jesus Christ. And we are united with him, we his ministers, his servants. Our life is his death offered to the Father. It is not a gift. It is a debt. It is a duty. The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.